Well, it's great to be here in the building to record this reading and sermon for the special occasion of Harvest. Today's reading is from Luke 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I want to make 3 brief points from this reading that link into our theme of harvest and helping those in need. Firstly, who is your neighbour? With the arrival of the internet, we are able to share with a community halfway across the world. And it's been brilliant, hasn't it, to have that insight into the work of BMS in Chad. We're told that we now live in a global village. We rub shoulders with people from around the world every day. But what did it mean for the people of Jesus' time to say, "Who is your neighbour?" What did it mean to the person asking the question? Well, he was an expert in the law. He was a scribe. He would have been quite happy that a priest was his neighbour, or that a Levite was his neighbour, part of the tribe who served God in the temple. But a Samaritan? No way. Samaria was the land which used to be the northern kingdom of Israel. But they had mixed with the world. The Jewish authorities didn't consider them to be proper Jews by birth. They also had religious practices which were unbiblical, impure, and just frankly wrong. But Jesus chose a Samaritan man, to show that anyone is capable of being a good neighbour. Jesus says it isn't about your ancestry, who your parents are, or the situation that you were born into. All people are called into repentance and given the offer of salvation, faith, and relationship with God. Jews, Samaritans, even Gentiles, people across the whole of the rest of the world. Everyone is potentially your neighbour in the salvation plans of God. And this, of course, goes right back to the book of Genesis, right at the beginning of mankind. We read that all humankind is made in the image of God. Genesis 1, verse 26. After making the living creatures, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Human beings all have a sense in which we resemble God. We are image bearers. All of humanity, male and female, black and white, Jew and Gentile, Western and Eastern, rich and poor. We all carry an image of God. So everyone needs to be treated with dignity and respect. So those working in Gwinnipore Hospital and other Christian charities have decided that they can't just walk by on the other side of the street when they know that a fellow human being, a fellow image bearer of God, is suffering. I don't know about you, but as I look at the priest in the story, I know I have been the church minister who has been too busy and walked by on the other side. I'm not proud of that. The Levites were responsible for worship. I know I have been the worship leader who has been too busy to stop. Perhaps you have walked by on the other side of the street as well. But what does God require of us? What does Jesus say is a summary of the requirements, the law of God? That I love God and that I love my neighbour as myself. And doing one is not an excuse to say that we don't have to do the other. They go hand in hand. And the Samaritan stops because he takes pity on the man. Not out of duty or obligation or guilt. His heart's stirred with compassion. He has to help because he sees a fellow man in need. Darrell Bock, in his commentary on Luke, says, "How can one be a neighbour? Well, it takes eyes and ears to be a neighbour, as well as a compassionate heart. The one major difference between the priest and the Levite on one hand and the Samaritan on the other is not what they see and hear, but what they do with what they see and hear. Only the Samaritan takes pity," he writes. "Only he has a heart. Neighbours are people with a heart that does more than pump blood. It sees, feels, and serves." And the Food Bank Project helps us to care for our neighbours. Fantastic project set up by Christians who realised there was a gap. If someone unexpectedly found themselves without food, they could go to social services or GP and have a referral so that that gap between having no food and the benefits starting to come in could be filled. And then churches were able to give to food banks and the whole community. We have a food bank here in Bangor run by Katine. All the churches working together. And there's other food banks across Gwynedd too. And it's not possible for us to organise a physical collection this year. But we can give financially instead. So that's what we're going to do. So this is literally helping our neighbours who have found themselves at this point of need. People who've lost their jobs at these times and or zero contracts, having their hours reduced, and people literally finding themselves unable to buy food or provide for their families. And irrespective of whether they themselves are Christians, we want to help our neighbours in the name of Jesus. So that's what we're doing. So this is fabulous. But is it sufficient? Have we then helped our neighbours if we do the food bank? In our global village, with our TV pictures and internet news, we now see the plight of others all across the world. In Gwinnipore 2 Hospital, we see thousands of operations performed, people cared for irrespective of race or religion. And all this brings glory to God. A testimony to the whole country of Chad, to the compassion of Jesus and his love, and to the glory of God. And Chad is a country that's so poor and already suffering so badly that coronavirus is only on the third of the scale of threats to public health because of suffering from malaria and chikungunya. I've never even heard of chikungunya. Sounds like a bad curry. But perhaps you're thinking, we can't help everyone in the world. Surely we can't consider everyone in our world to be our neighbours. The problem is too big. There's too many people that need to be helped. I want to tell you a story about a man who was going for a walk along a beach. The old man was doing his daily walk along the beach one morning when he spotted a young boy crouching by the water, scooping something up from the sand and throwing it in the sea. The beach was normally empty at this time of day, so the old man stopped to watch for a while. He noticed that the boy kept shuffling on a little further down the beach, then repeating this same action again and again. Stopping, scooping, throwing, moving. What are you doing there, boy? The old man asked, walking closer. I'm saving these starfish that are stranded, replied the boy. If they stay on the beach, they will dry out and die. So I'm putting them back in the ocean so that they can live. The old man was silent for a few seconds. Young man, he said, on this stretch of beach alone, there must be more than 100 stranded starfish. Around the next corner, there must be at least 1,000 more. This goes on for miles and miles and miles. I've done this walk every day for 10 years, and it's always the same. There must be millions of stranded starfish. I hate to say it, but you'll never make a difference. The boy threw another one in and replied, well, I just made a difference for that one. And he continued with his work. As a church, we give to BMS and we give to home mission as well as our own initiatives. The Gwynnebor 2 Hospital is one of three projects that we're linked to. Three couples as well and families working in the developing world. I know many members give to other charities too, and that's excellent. That's really good. And we have a tier fund quiz on Saturday. I hope you came to that. It would have been last night by the time you're listening to this. Have a look on the church website for more information. So who is your neighbour? Those who bear the image of God and are made in his likeness. That's everyone. And we will help those we can. And we will carry on helping as much as we can. So how should we help? Well, good health and well-being, point two. And wholeness is about spiritual needs as well as physical needs. I love the work of BMS, and I know Penrath love the work of BMS too. The BMS works among some of the most marginalised and least evangelised people in some of the most fragile places on earth. They aim to bring life in all its fullness through church, development, education, health, justice, leadership and relief. And whilst BMS is extremely effective in providing aid and relief, it is never just an aid agency. BMS state that the highest goal of all they do is to bring people to faith in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and an experience of the abundant life that only he can provide. On the video, we heard of people sharing their faith in the operating theatre waiting room, praying for the brokenhearted, as well as performing surgery, removing cancers, binding up wounds and stitching up gunshots. And then a throwaway comment about Boko Haram reminds us that it's even more incredible to be doing these things in Chad. Chad has a vulnerable infrastructure and struggles to provide all the other supporting environments and services. It has complexities with things so simple as electricity and power, complexities with the supply of medicines and equipment. And yet here it is, a place of transformation and hope. Hope for physical healing delivered by people who pray while they work. Hope for spiritual healing and wholeness too. God has given these wonderful skills to people as part of a team to heal others physically. And at the same time, they're offering transformation and salvation in the name of Jesus. The hope of reconciliation with God. To bring glory to Jesus with that highest goal. And this abundant life that Jesus provides, of course, is not a life based on material possessions. And when we're thinking about health, there's a temptation to say, well, this is the spiritual bit and God's involved in that. And this is the practical bit where you know, God isn't so involved. But that isn't the case here. Here, the offer of prayer and spiritual healing goes alongside the offer of physical healing. God is active in both and working and underpinning both. What a fantastic model. And in our reading, too, that Jesus says, go and do likewise, speaking of a man who has just helped the practical needs of another man in administering practical physical healing for his wounds. Jesus saying, go and do likewise, is referring to that very act. We are called to providing a part in the emotional, spiritual, and physical healing of others in the name of Jesus Christ. Third point. The Samaritan gives money to the innkeeper to look after the man. He's generous. He doesn't just give of his time and skills. He rolls his sleeves up, and he also takes the man to an inn, gives the innkeeper 2 days' wages. It's about £150 of today's money. And he says to the innkeeper, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had. That's generosity. And we're not all called to go to Chad, or even all called to go and work in our local food bank. God calls us all to different things, but he calls us all to give. Some won't be able to give as much financially. Don't worry, God knows that what you give has honoured him. The principle of tithing is that we give in proportion to what we earn. We honour God just as much as we do that. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 21 when he was sat outside the temple. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. I don't want you to give literally everything that you have to live on and put yourselves in need. We have financial responsibilities to others and financial responsibilities for ourselves. And God wants us to enjoy life. Jesus went to parties and feasts. What I am saying here, and what I believe God is saying through his word here as well, is that God sees our giving in proportion to what we earn. And whatever we can give, giving a little still enables us to honour God in our finances. Some may be able not to give as much financially, but may be able to give time. Some may not be able to give time, but may be able to give more financially. The Samaritan man was able to do a little bit of both. Jesus says, go and do likewise. And this is a challenge to us all, me included, as we reflect on the needs of others across the world. But at this time of harvest, when we remember all that God has given us, all the ways that God has provided for us, perhaps it's an appropriate time to give something back to God, to the glory of God, to others. And if you want to give today, the details are on the website. Simply pay into our normal account, but give it the reference Harvest. And the money will not go to Penrith Church. It will go straight to our local food banks in Bangor and Gwynedd and to BMS. Or if you prefer, send a cheque to the published address with Harvest written on the back. Same result. So, in conclusion, this harvest, we thank God for his bounteous provision. In spite of coronavirus, when we look around the world, we recognise that God has given us so much. We pray for our world and for our neighbours around the world. All of them made in the image of God. All of them precious to him. And we do it all in the name of Jesus to bring him glory. And in the hope that many will find eternal health and healing in his name. In the hope that many will find abundant life. This side of eternity too. Life to the full. In and through Jesus. to the glory of God. Amen.